This podcast is brought to you by Podcast Nation.
Anyone else feel like a business class required in your schooling curriculum would have been massively helpful? Because same. We went to school to become therapists, and here we are 10 years later, really noticing the void in our knowledge on the business side of therapy, which is why we love our Masterclass membership. Masterclass has truly increased our confidence in running our therapy practice, The Therapy Group. Pros like Chris Voss, Robin Roberts, Daniel Pink, and Mark Cuban have filled that void and taught us so much about decision-making, negotiating, maximizing our time, and effective communication. This year, you too can learn from the best to become your best with Masterclass. Don't just talk about improving, Masterclass actually helps you do it. Plus, every new membership comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, so there's no risk. And right now, our listeners will get an additional 15% off an annual membership at masterclass.com/shrinkchicks. Get 15% off right now at masterclass.com/shrinkchicks. masterclass.com/shrinkchicks.
Welcome to Shrink Chicks.
I'm Emily Beerley.
And I'm Jennifer Chaikin.
And we're licensed marriage and family therapists and owners of The Therapy Group.
We're on a mission to make therapy and therapeutic topics more relatable and accessible.
So stay tuned, because in order to grow yourself, you gotta know yourself. Welcome to Shrink Chicks.
Welcome to Shrink Chicks.
Hey, Jen.
Hey, Em.
I need everyone to know, for the record, this is our third time recording this episode.
I am so sad.
Over a 24-hour period, we have lost a bunch of audio yesterday. We spent hours recording. Poor Jen hit her limits.
Completely. I had to talk about the fact when we lost the audio, I went upstairs to like change into comfortable clothes. I was wearing all black. And Emily went and changed, and she was wearing like a rainbow sweatshirt. And it just completely, it just was a signifier of like where we were mentally.
I was just like, oh, I guess this is just how it is. You're like, this, I'm never recording again.
I'm done.
So here we go. Third time's
because
a charm.
The mental load, yes, that we have to take on
when we're doing the podcast,
when we're
it's
doing
exhausting.
The podcast. So that is our segue into the fact that today's episode is about the mental load.
Also known as cognitive labor. There's a lot of different, like, I feel like buzzwords around this. So basically, it refers to the invisible, non-tangible tasks that happen within your household or your business. What that might look like is who's the person who makes the appointments for the pets to go to the vet, who cleans out the drawers of your kids' stuff after each season, who gets asked on your team to host the retirement party for Betty, who's leaving.
Betty. Right?
Yes, Betty. And so that's
that
all stuff
Betty's
that, like,
always retiring.
They're not these written down responsibilities, right? Like, usually when you have a job like work, you have, like, specific rules, roles, and responsibilities, but that doesn't really happen in home life.
Right.
And so a lot of people talk now about mental load. And I think one of the things that goes into is that historically this has been put on women because women were not in the workforce. They were at home with unpaid labor of taking care of children. And that is labor. It's not anyone gets a break or a rest. It is labor to stay home. And so historically this has been put on women. So we're going to talk about it today, definitely with a very heteronormative and cisgendered conversation around it. You should know that to begin with.
And I think a lot of it, you know, is so unconscious to us because we developed these unconscious, you know, like narratives around what should I be doing in the household? You know, what are the things that I have to take up? And if we saw that from the generation before us, where there were these very specific gender roles where women were kind of staying home and taking care of everything in the house. Mm-hmm. But now women are in the workforce and they're so much more, and they're taking care of the home, they're taking care of the kid, that, you know, we talk a lot about how women take on a huge portion of the mental load.
Yeah. So we'll talk about it in terms of, we'll start with workplace. And I use this example now three times. This is our third time recording this. But so
I'm going to pretend like this is the first time I'm hearing it.
Yes, that's great. So your boss comes up to you and he's like, oh, man, like, right, Betty's retiring. We need to host.
I think it's a different B every time you've recorded this.
I think it was Becky at one point. I have no fucking idea what her name is at this point. She's retiring. Can you take over the retirement party? You're so good at planning parties.
I know I am.
You did this other thing before. You're amazing, right?
Thank you.
Okay. So then you start thinking, before you have even called a place, you have looked and entered, you start thinking, well, what kind of food does everyone like? What kind of food does Betty like? Is anyone have any dietary restrictions? Is Betty vegan? Like, what do we do? How do I call? Wait, who's going to be there that day? What time of day should we have it? Do we have it on a Friday? Do we have, right? So all of a sudden, before doing a single task, you are experiencing mental load and labor. And typically, this is unpaid, right? So when your boss comes up to you and asks you to do this for Betty, they're never saying, also, we're going to give you an extra little bonus for hosting this.
For giving this, right?
Yes.
You're and just like, I want my boss to like me. And so I am going to say yes to this and I'm going to make sure it is perfect.
Yeah. And it's definitely not being asked to a heterosexual cis male on your
right.
team.
No. And you know what? I think sometimes the mental load falls on the person who has the ability to think about all of those details, right? That the person who is really amazing at party planning in this situation, it can be a blessing and a curse where they're like, you're so great at this, but also people put so many more tasks on you because of that, right? So it's even though you're able to do all of these things, doesn't necessarily mean you want to be doing all of these things all the time. But it might come so naturally to you. And you also might not even realize that you're taking on the mental load. It might be happening so quickly, so naturally. You know, I was talking about, we're throwing a party for our clinicians. And we typically do it at Emily's house because she has like a great party house. And it's in the middle of nowhere.
Middle of fucking nowhere.
Where you can't get cell
service.
Throw a party in the
woods, come to my house.
Right, exactly. And so every time... Of course, Emily goes above and beyond. She always does, which is amazing. It makes for an amazing party. However, when it gets down to it, she's so stressed.
I'm really excited the month before when I start this planning. Right. And the day of, I'm like, why the fuck did I do
so,
this again?
So this time I was like, Em, listen, like we can just get a pizza. You don't have to go above and beyond, right? So she like has all this plan. And then when we get close to it, she starts freaking out. And I know that's going to happen. So I'm trying to prep us. I'm like, it's okay. We can just get a pizza. She was like, okay, I'm not going to go crazy this time. She was like, but we have to get a shaved ice straw. I was like, okay. But like, how much work is that going to put on you? It's okay. Like, people will be happy. It's not going to be a big deal. So I have to really like rein her in because I know that she, it's happening so naturally for you.
So naturally.
Which is so wonderful. Yeah. But I also recognize that is going to cause you more stress. So I'm trying to mitigate that.
And that's the hard part, right? So for some people take on the mental load, we like it. It's unconscious, right? Like I like my cooking better than my husband's and I like the way I grocery shop more than him and I like the way I throw parties, right? So like the thing is like you can love this and it can also be stressful. And I think for a lot of us, we think, well, this is self-inflicted. So I shouldn't, this is all my fault. Well, wait a second. People also benefit from it. And there's a way of like, if you come down, there's also a way for your partner to come up. But I think that this does go into overfunctioning and underfunctioning in your relationship.
And I think let's define overfunctioning and underfunctioning for people.
Yeah.
So if we're talking about mental load, someone who takes on the mental load and you like the way you do things better than others, right? Where you have this anxiety that's driving you to say like, I need to make sure all of these tasks are done. Right? You might be the overfunctioner in your relationship. The tough thing about that is when you're in a relationship and you're overfunctioning, you're taking on all of these tasks, then your partner might learn to underfunction, right? And in their underfunctioning, they might lose their ability to feel confident in those tasks. And that's where learned helplessness starts to come about. And learned helplessness is when your partner might be learning, oh, I can't do this, right? My partner can pick it up, which must mean that I won't be able to do this or I can't do this. And so you get into this unfortunate cycle in your relationship of overfunctioning and underfunctioning. What happens is that breeds resentment.
And resentment kills everything.
Everything.
Right? So that is the larger thing here. And so, okay, so... Let's start to sprinkle in some listener questions
because
I think that they're very helpful.
Sprinkle them.
So one of the things someone asks is, do you find that it's usually the more type A or anxious energy person in the relationship who carries the mental load? Yes.
Yes.
Full stop.
Period.
Full stop. Now, I also think it's the person who cares more.
Yeah.
Right? So that doesn't even have to be done in an anxious way. But if I like care if people enjoy a party at my house, I'm going to like probably try to like make that really good. Right.
Right.
Like, my partner's like, I don't give a shit. We're like, you know, giving them like it's a venue.
So here's an example. So something my partner really cares about is like the outside of our house or like
or everyone else's trees on your block.
Everyone else's trees. Like he is such an old man. I was just making fun of him. We walked down the streets of Philadelphia and he's like, these branches are hanging way too low. Like, they should be 6 feet max, 6 feet max. And I'm like, if I have to hear about another fucking low hanging branch, I swear to God. But he will not stop. And he's like, do you think I can go to all the neighbors and ask them if I can cut down their branches? And I'm like, yes, just stop talking about it, please.
And you would never notice that
ever. I would never notice these low hanging branches. Yeah. I would just avoid them. I don't really care about the outside of her house, but it's really important to him. So he carries the mental load of the landscaping of other people's plants. I don't know.
But no, but I mean, I think my husband wakes up in the morning and looks at all the sticks outside. And he's like, oh, I got to pick up sticks today. And I'm like, we have sticks in the yard? Like, I don't fucking know.
Right. You would never know.
Never know.
Because
right?
we care less about
that part of it
happening
right?
outside.
Now, I also do think mental load comes with what has been bred of judgment towards people. Right. Mm-hmm. So one of the things that I talk about is I gave this example. I have one of the first times I ever left my daughter and my husband. It like went away overnight for a trip. I came back and like, my husband had put her just like in like the world's like the outfit didn't match. It was so weird. And the thing is, if my husband takes my daughter out to the grocery store and she's like looking a bit like a mess, everyone's like, look at this cute dad trying his best. If I do that, they're like, oh, look at this mom that's a mess.
Or right? has bad style.
Or has bad style, right? Like anything. So part of this is also, what have we done to create safety? Right? What do we do? This is not, and I think sometimes it's like getting this thing of like, well, you carry the mental load, and so this is just your problem.
Right.
I don't think that that is necessarily true. I think everyone has adapted in a survival way of how do you handle stuff. And sometimes judgment from other people, if I'm going to my mom's house, and I know that this is not something that would be accurate with my mother because my mother is always late, but if I was going to my mom's house and I know my mom always has something to say about me being on time, I'm going to be really anxious about making sure we get out of the house beforehand because I don't want to deal with that interaction. So a lot of this, I do believe, is survival and adaptation.
Yeah, like we learn to carry the mental load from an early age.
Yes.
Right? Where there's almost an expectation on us.
If you listen to one of our latest episodes titled Em and Jen Fall Apart, you know the current feelings of burnout that we're both facing. Running our business, the therapy group, keeping up with the podcast, and enduring a house renovation leaves little time for grocery shopping, meal prepping, and cooking. So we are extremely thankful for our sponsor, Hungry Root. When I received my first delivery of the Hungry Root box, it felt like a breath of fresh air. Hungry Root saves me so much time and offers customizable options. Plus, with perfectly portioned ingredients, I'm wasting far less food than I would if I were left to my own devices in the kitchen. No more throwing away wilted veggies or expired condiments lurking in the back of my fridge. Each order is fully customizable, so you can take their suggestions or choose anything you want. They've got fresh produce, high quality meat and seafood, smoothies, sweets, ready to eat meals, kids snacks and meals, vitamins and supplements, and much more. I discovered Three Little Pigs, spinach, feta, and egg bites in my last delivery, and they are my new obsession. Also, Hungry Root's coconut curry sauce is not to be missed. Everything from Hungry Root follows a simple standard. It's got to taste good, be quick to make, and contain whole trusted ingredients. Right now, Hungry Root is offering Shrink Chicks listeners 40% off your first delivery and free veggies for life. Just go to hungryroot.com/shrinkchicks to get 40% off your first delivery and get your free veggies. That's hungryroot.com/shrinkchicks. Don't forget to use our link so they know we sent you. Can you believe we're on year 5 of Shrink Chicks? We have been podcasting since 2019 and have somehow yet to change the photo of us on the cover of the podcast. We are planning a photo shoot in a few weeks so we can finally update our cover art. We both obviously need new outfits for the photo shoot, but really didn't want to break the bank. So thank goodness for Quince, where we can get multiple high-quality outfits for a very reasonable price. Quince is here to transform the way you shop with a range of high-quality items priced within reach. For the shoot, we want to go with a few different looks, one being monochrome, so I opted for a few key items from Quince's collection, including their Mongolian cashmere tee, classic trouser pant, and structured blazer. I couldn't resist adding their timeless 14 karat gold jewelry pieces to complete my look because who doesn't love accessorizing? The best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes, making me feel even better about my purchases. Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/shrinkchicks for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/shrinkchicks to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/shrinkchicks.
So another example is, who does the school call when there's an issue with Millie?
Okay. So they always call me first.
Right. You're the default parent.
Yes.
But like, why?
Because I have a vagina.
Right. Exactly. You're right. And so there's an expectation that you are the one who is already going to carry that mental load.
Yes.
So what expectation is the society putting on us too, right? So it's like cyclical in so many ways.
Weirdly enough, I'm also the person who typically can never answer their phone call because they're in session.
Right. So
they should not be calling.
So how do you communicate that with like systems in your life?
So I think that probably what we could have done initially, like on our contact forms, is write like, please call him first.
Right.
Because I think they're automatically most likely call the mom.
Yeah.
Because
did they ask that on the form?
They didn't ask that on the form. But they should ask that. But also I should have thought that through and thought about what it might be like. But you don't think about this stuff until it happens.
Okay. But also you just said I should have thought that through. Because mental you load. Are already yes. taking on the mental, right? Oh, see, we do that to ourselves. Like, oh, I should have thought about that already. But why?
Yeah.
You know?
Like, I never would have. I clearly didn't. Right.
Clearly didn't happen.
I'm like, I hope she's okay. I can't answer. I'm in session. You don't even see this. Like, I don't keep my phone on. Right.
But how were you supposed to know until that happens that we just kind of put that expectation on ourselves? Well, I should have thought of that. And I think when we put that on ourselves, like, oh, you know, I should have thought of that, then we carry on more mental load. Like, what are the things that I'm not thinking about that I should be thinking about too? There's almost like a false sense of security in, like, let me think about all the possibilities so that I can protect myself from something bad happening. Mm-hmm. When in the end, you really can't protect yourself at times.
Nothing. It's all going to happen. So why do I feel, somebody asked, and why do I feel guilt around asking to share the mental load? I feel responsible for it because my partner has significantly more anxiety and struggles with depression.
Oof. I think, well, so we talk a lot about the fact that when you change something in your relationship, that it's going to bring up feelings of discomfort, right? Where you're taking on that mental load to avoid those feelings of guilt, right? Or was that the thing that was driving you to take on the mental load to begin with? I think that's a big question that we need to ask ourselves is like, what are the emotions that are driving us to take on the mental load to begin with? Because when you start to pull back and say, okay, I need to pull back from overfunctioning because it's pushing my partner to underfunction or whatever, then, you know, it is going to bring up discomfort in your relationship. It's going to open you up to like, oh, these feelings of guilt are coming up. And I also think this question specifically touches on a conversation around like, what do you do when your partner is really struggling with their mental health? Mm-hmm. And how that overfunctioner, underfunctioner dynamic can also keep your partner from holding themselves accountable too, which could in the end help them challenge those thoughts of like, well, I can't do anything, right? That doesn't reinforce that they can't do anything if you're just picking up everything. And I think it's also up to us to hold our partners accountable to say, listen, I understand that you're going through this. I know this is really hard. I want to make sure you're getting the help that you need.
I will also say, as someone who has experienced significant anxiety and depression, sometimes it feels really good to like hold it like a safe, warm blanket over you.
Yes.
And you don't intentionally do this, but like, I think it's a pattern we can fall into.
Because it feels good to be taken care of.
Oh my God. I love being taken right? care
so, of. Right. So like there's something that your partner might be like really benefiting in certain ways from you taking everything on and saying, yeah, I'm really anxious. I'm really depressed. Mm-hmm. Not saying that they're not.
No, they probably really, really are.
Right. But I think you're right that there is some sort of
comfort in it.
I totally have milked that before when I've been depressed.
I think I did it about 2 months ago.
I think I did it like maybe a week ago.
Okay. Tips for sharing mental load of kids as you start your parenting journey and how to divide mental load when parenting. So I think one of the best things I can tell you is you're going to have a lot of conversations. If this is the female asking, you're going to have a lot of conversations with yourself in your head, with your friends, with internet mom groups of different stuff. Are you having them with your partner? it is very easy. There was a lot of decisions I made in our parenting journey that my partner wasn't even like part of, right? Like I was like, I'm definitely gonna breastfeed and we're definitely gonna do baby led weaning and I'm gonna do blah, 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 and all the different stuff because like that's gonna help us. That's what the research says. Like in either way, just, you know, like no matter what you do, like your kid is still a little jerk sometimes and is still eating French fries.
You
off
mean baby led weaning didn't help your kid?
Well, they say it's supposed
be
to, like,
the perfect
they,
child.
They supposed to, like, it's supposed to like decrease their pickiness. And like my kid still like lives off pickles and cheese sandwiches. So like I don't know. So there's like a lot of conversation you're gonna have. Are you talking about them to your partner? And if your partner doesn't care, it's something to consider about, like, am I making this into more than it is? Or what is really important? You cannot die on every single hill. You need to choose what starts to like matter in life. And I think that this can become a little confusing and complicated because you're trying, I don't know, you're really trying for something. You're trying to be this great parent. You're trying so hard. You want people to think that you're good. A lot of times we have our own child, especially like in motherhood, like it opens up like our old childhood wounds. There's just so many things and you're trying so fucking hard and you're so tired that like sometimes like you don't even realize that you're not like working together cohesively as parents.
Yeah.
So I think that's like having a lot of conversations and having a lot of tough, uncomfortable conversations of like, I really don't feel like you showed up for me last night. And like, I feel like I'm the only one who thinks about, do we have enough diapers? And I'm the only one who like makes sure that like the, I feel like the baby's like getting stimulated and doing these other things. Can we work together as a team more?
Right. And I wonder, you know, when you're both so tired that like communicating is the hardest thing to do, right? That there's, it's, you're so much more likely to be reactive because you're exhausted. And so sometimes I want, you know, it's almost like taking the easier road of just like, I'll just do this myself.
We have these really good couple friend of ours, Mike and Laura. They remember they read at our wedding. They read a beautiful poem at our wedding.
Yes.
They had a son before us. And one of the things they said to us is that there is a difference between 4 p.m. Mike and Lauren and there's a difference between 3 a.m. Mike and Lauren. And so, of course, 4 p.m. gets along because they're at the end of the day. Things are happy. What matters is how do 3 a.m. Mike and Lauren talk towards each other?
Right.
When you're up in the middle of the night, when nobody's sleeping, that is something that in the morning starts to breed this resentment.
Right. I mean, listen, I don't know shit about parenting. So I'm not going to pretend like I do. But as your child gets older, right at the beginning, you're exhausted. There's a lot of sleep deprivation. So you learn to not, you're just like, okay, we're on survival mode.
Just survival
mode. And then making the transition to switching to, okay, we're going to communicate about this now because we're just going from survival mode to like, let's make sure that this is like cohesive parenting. Do you find that that switch can be challenging to make, that you're just like, we're just going to keep going into survival mode and we're not going to talk about this.
Yes.
And I'm just going to keep taking on the mental load.
Yes.
So making that transition.
Because it also feels easier. And somebody wrote that in, right? Somebody had a really great question about like, all right. Oh, so somebody said like, what if you feel like you're the only one who knows how to do it? Grocery shopping or meal prep. And like in this one, we'll say like changing the diapers or something. And when partner offers to help, you say no, because you can do it better.
Right.
And so I think that's one of the things that comes up is that like, of course, I knew how to soothe Millie better because I was breastfeeding her and we had done that. And at the beginning, it really was me taking over because like they're breastfeeding like all the fucking time. Millie used to cluster feed all the time. And so it then was like, I could do it so much quicker than my husband that I just was the one who soothed her every time.
Right.
And I didn't actually like give him a chance.
Yeah. You like, and right. You like, don't allow yourself the ability to make that transition.
Well, because I also couldn't, the cries like hurt your brain when you're that tired. Yeah. So you hear her crying, you just want her to stop crying. So like, I can just breastfeed her, don't worry about it. But like that also doesn't like build up your tolerance to the distress. And like when you're in survival mode, exactly, like it's very hard to differentiate. So let's ask her. So what if you feel like you're the only one who knows how to do it? And when your partner offers to help, you say no, because you can do it better.
So I think that it's a really good question to ask yourself, because I think that if you want to be the one to take that over and say, I want it to be done my way, you have to be okay with the fact that that is going to be your job, and that accepting that and saying, I am going to take this over. I like it better. It feels good for me. And it's not fair for me to hold my partner accountable for not doing it, right? To hold that resentment against them.
I think there's some stuff that like you are better at, like, I mean, right? Like there's gotta be some stuff you're better at than your partner, right? Like, cause you've been doing it just longer.
Yeah. I don't know. he has more of like a, I need things to be a certain way.
Okay, so that's,
I don't feel that as much.
Yeah, so I feel like there is certain stuff that I'm like, this is my stuff to do and I prefer it this way and I like it this way. And that's fine. But I then can't hold it above my partner's head and be resentful. That's not fair to the relationship.
Right. That's what I think's really hard, is to be able to say, but I would say I'm not the partner who holds on to that.
No.
I'm just like, as long as it gets done.
Yeah. I get more into like resentful. But like, that's something I've had to really reduce, which is that, like, if there's certain stuff that's just to be me, I want to buy Millie's clothes.
I mean, that makes sense.
I like buying the clothes. I like the little outfits. I think it's adorable. I want to go to, right? Like,
that sounds fun.
Yes, right? Like, so like, for me, I can get mad at him for that. Like, I'm always the one who thinks about buying her clothes for the next season or I should grow up. Or I can just do it and shut up because I get control of it. So there's some ways that this will benefit you. And you have to pick and choose what really matters. Do I actually care that my husband folds the laundry a little different than me? No, I actually don't give a shit. But if I nitpick it every time, that's not going to help the situation. So you're going to need to choose what actually matters. And this is when it's some zoom out is very helpful.
I have it opposite. So like for us, it's like cleaning the counters. He wants the counters to be clean with soap and water and a sponge every time.
Not like just like some a Clorox spray. Right?
Yeah.
I would spray it and then.
Same. I would do that too. He needs soap and water. Yep. And so we have had this conversation of like, if you want it
to be. Is
that
a cultural thing? What? I've never heard of that.
No idea. No clue. So I have to just say, if you don't. Like, if you don't like the way I do it, and if it's more important for you to do it in this specific way, it might be something that you have to take on yourself.
Right. And then let the other stuff go. Absolutely.
Exactly.
Anyone else go through soap and cleaning products insanely quick? At both my house and at our business, we're constantly replacing plastic bottles. Did you know that an estimated 5 billion plastic hand soap and cleaning bottles are thrown away each year? And if that's not bad enough, most cleaning formulas are 90% water, which is heavy to ship, leading to excessive carbon emissions. That's why we are thrilled to introduce our newest sponsor, Blue Land. Blue Land is on a mission to eliminate single-use plastic by reinventing cleaning essentials to be better for you and the planet with the same powerful clean you're used to. The idea is simple. They offer refillable cleaning products with a beautifully cohesive design that looks great on your counter. Fill your reusable bottles with water, drop in the tablets, and wait for them to dissolve. You will never have to grab bulky cleaning supplies on your grocery run. Refills start at just $2.25. You can even set up a subscription or buy in bulk for an additional savings. From cleaning sprays to hand soap, toilet bowl cleaner, and laundry tablets, all Blue Land products are made with clean ingredients you can feel good about. And I'll be honest, I was a bit skeptical at first. Can eco-friendly products really tackle tough messes? Well, Blue Land proved me wrong. The products I received, like their multi-service cleaner and bathroom cleaner, were powerful. Grime, grease, and dirt don't stand a chance. Blue Land is not only good for the planet, but also for your wallet. And the starter kit I received was beautifully packed. The bottles are sleek and sturdy, and the scents are amazing. Lemongrass, lavender eucalyptus, and fresh lemon, or you can choose fragrance-free. Blue Land has a special offer for listeners. Right now, get 15% off your first order by going to blueland.com/shrinkchicks. You won't want to miss this. blueland.com/shrinkchicks for 15% off. That's blueland.com/shrinkchicks to get 15% off.
Okay, let's do some more questions.
Okay.
Let's do more questions. I really love this one. When you're both burnt out and need extra support, how do you support each other?
I love this one too.
Yeah, because I think this happens.
It happens all the time.
Yeah.
So one of the things I want you to think about is it might be comfortable in your relationship where if one person is burnt out, that the other one kind of takes stuff on, or if the other person's burnt out, then you take stuff on. And I think really being relationally aware of when you are both burnt out and what you both need in those moments that doesn't require the other person to do something. And this might be a conversation you have to have with each other when you are not burnt out.
Mm.
What can you, where you can sit down and say, listen, there are times in which we are both burnt out and we are not able to give to the other one. And so what do each of us need in those moments that doesn't require something from the other one? Is it space for yourselves? Is it you have to go on a walk? I think really communicating about what the things are that each of you need that doesn't require something from the other person is really important.
Yeah.
and communicating about that outside of your burnout. Because what happens is we don't even realize this. And when we're burnout, we expect something from the other person. We try to have the conversation then. And then we start yelling at each other, right? It turns into, it brings the stress from external things into the relationship. And that's what you want to really, you want to protect the relationship, right? You want to make sure that you're boundarying the relationship off from the external stresses. And so in order to do that, you have to have this conversation outside of the burnout, right? Mm. You have to preemptively prepare for this.
Okay, that's a good one. Okay, how to accept you can't control what gets done or how well it gets done? I love control.
See,
this
like,
is very hard.
See, I don't feel this as much. So
I do.
I know. So tell us. Well, I feel that way about Canva.
Oh my gosh. Can we talk about, I won't even, fucking payroll, Jen.
Yeah.
Okay.
There are
certain things with this business that I do not touch with a 10-foot pole because there is no point.
There was one time we had a competition on Canva. We were both going to make something. What was it?
I don't know, but I stopped 1 minute in. I was like, I don't even know why I'm bothering. Jen's going to rip this apart. She's going to do it the way she wants to do it anyway. So like, I don't care. Do you care that I do that?
No, not at all.
Because you want the control.
Oh, I love doing it.
How about payroll?
Totally fine with that. I mean, there was a point where I had a breakdown, but made it through.
You made it through,
persevered.
Right? But like, there is certain stuff, right? And then we had to have a conversation. We're like, oh, well, what if Jen dies or something happens to Jen? She can't run payroll. How's everyone get paid? We better teach Emily.
And I got to teach you about Canva too, now that we're talking about it.
I can do Canva. It's just not ever going to be the exact detail that
if someone, out of respect
to you, if you die, I will hire a graphic designer.
Thank you.
Because I know that from the grave, you would not be happy with what I did.
No, I would literally haunt you like a ghost and be like,
move it over.
The
font's
change
not right.
The font.
Like, truly. And
the color is off.
So like, yeah. Okay. So Jen, you're like, oh, Emily, answer this question. Let's ask you. How to accept you can't control what gets done?
I need just a little time to reflect.
Would you, if I made something on Canva and I put it up on our social media?
So I have to. I've texted in the group and said, listen, I have said there are so many things I could nitpick, right? I said this like the other day. I said, but I'm not going to because it does not make sense for me to just like nitpick these tiny little things.
Does it kill you not to?
No, because I can check myself and say, like, does this really matter? That's kind of
what
I have to
say. Party planning for me, though, that's like what comes up that I'm like, this could be better. That's what you do with the graphics. Like, you're like, this could be better.
Of course. But
is there a TikTok sound like that?
We should make one.
It could be better.
We're thinking.
I think there is.
It could be a little better.
Yeah.
But so how do you check? Like, when we're having this conversation about the party planning, like, do you have to check yourself?
Yes, the entire time.
Okay.
Because I will go overboard. Same thing. You can get lost in Canva. I've watched you do it.
I literally
could
spend.
That's me with parties.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Yes.
Wow. I feel like I understand you on a whole new level.
So like when I'm like, oh, I want to do this twice a year retreat, which is something I want to do. We should probably not do that because I will do everything to make it a certain way and perfect.
And then we'll get there and you'll feel so stressed out. I get it. I get it, Em.
Yeah, do you get it now?
I get it because the Canva. Wow.
Yeah.
Wait, listen, this is a moment. We're having a moment. I think it's really important. But okay, so the way that we have to, right? So
I have to talk myself down at all times.
That's exactly what
like
I have
you
to
had
do.
To say to yourself, this doesn't matter. There's stuff I could say.
Right.
That's me that I have to literally like say out loud to myself, like, this doesn't matter. I know it feels big and important to you. I know it feels like it matters a lot. But like literally in a week from now, is this going to matter at all? Absolutely not.
Right.
No one's going to be like, well, absolutely. It definitely was cuter that you cut out the pepper and you put the dip inside the pepper as opposed to just putting it in a separate bowl.
Or you could have
used. No one's going to say that.
You could have used papyrus font.
Papyrus?
Did you ever see that SNL skit Papyrus? It is so funny.
We'll watch it.
I'll send
this.
It to you. But yeah, like no one is going to care or know. And so I think to be able to have that internal dialogue with yourself to say, like, is this actually really important? If it's in your romantic relationship, how will me holding on to this affect the relationship as opposed to letting it go internally?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. Have that conversation with yourself.
Okay. I really like this question. Okay. My husband doesn't believe that mental load is a real thing. How to explain that it's not my anxiety? Okay, hard truth really fast. If your partner is denying a part of your reality, that's a conversation. That is a conversation that's probably going to take some emotional regulation.
Yep.
Some distress tolerance.
Yep.
Some compassion, because relationships are about
relating.
And if your partner will not relate to you and what you're saying is your very real truth, that is not okay. You deserve to be hurt in your relationship. But because we don't experience, that's like me saying, like, because I don't experience food insecurity that nobody does in this world. Just because I don't experience something doesn't mean other fucking people don't.
Right.
I think that's sometimes really hard for people to get.
Yeah.
That, like, because I don't experience it. But same thing. I couldn't give a shit less what the Canva looks like. I'm like, I'll throw it up there.
Right.
Like,
I don't give a shit about a party. I bring chips and salsa to every party. Yes, you do.
And,
Lala.
And Tostitos. Like, not don't even care. Like something good.
I'm like, but everyone likes Tostitos. Who doesn't like chips and salsa? Or I'm the one who signs up for, like,
the paper plates. Right? Uh-huh. So, right. But that means that I would say to Jen, like, oh, Jesus, like, you're just being anxious about the Canva thing. No, it's important to her. So, like, you need to be seen by your partner. So, how can you explain to somebody? You're going to have to say, like, I hear you, but, like, that's really minimizing to me when you make it about this. And you might have to use the explanation in terms of, you can use the workplace one, right? If you ask so-and-so on your team.
Use the fishing example.
Okay.
I should use the fishing example.
I forgot about that because we recorded this episode 3 times. Okay.
That's so funny.
So I will preface this by saying I know nothing about fishing. Or heterosexual men. So here's my example. If you said to him, like, if you're going on a fishing trip with your buddies and everybody, right, who brings all the stuff? And he'd probably be like, oh, everyone brings their own stuff. Or so you'd be like, okay, well, what if every time John, Mark, and Matthew showed the fuck up to your boat, they expected you to have everything ready. They expected the bait. They expected the tackle. They expected you to charge the boat. They expected you to have the little... Stop laughing.
Do you charge a boat?
I know. Okay.
All right, that's
what
good,
did
though.
You get resentful of your fucking guys, right? Like,
charging the boat takes a long time because you can't find the plug. You can't find where to plug it into the boat.
Because it doesn't exist. Very
right. So I feel like that would be a lot to process, no? Unless you have a Tesla boat.
Does Tesla make boats?
I don't know. They
probably
should.
Elon,
if they hear that,
you
Elon, if
okay.
you start making boats, we better get some royalties.
Okay. So, right. So you have to, like, sometimes you have to, like, use these analogies. Like, we have to do this in therapy sometimes. Like, sometimes I have to, like, explain stuff in a different way.
I have had to use golf metaphors.
I wouldn't know anything about golf.
Same. And I say that before I say, listen, I know nothing about golf.
Nothing
so maybe
golf.
You can help me out while I'm trying to use this metaphor. Yeah. Or I've had to do, like, car mechanics before.
Mm-hmm. Car
nothing.
Mechanics. Yeah.
Nothing. So anyway, see if you can. Oh, I have a good idea. See if you can read up a little bit on what your partner is into. If you have no idea the ins and outs of it,
yeah,
and turn it into a metaphor that they might be able to understand.
All right, that's great. Oh, we have to get to Dear Em and Jen.
Oh yeah,
Dear Em and Jen, I'm constantly reminding my boyfriend to do things, and he always says he will do them tomorrow, and then he never does. Like refilling the soap dispenser, vacuuming, paying a bill, getting a haircut. I know I've been doing exactly what his mom always does, too, but I literally don't know how to stop. He always says, I just want one day of you not criticizing me. But it's literally just because he never follows through on anything, and I don't know how to get him to. How do I stop getting so annoyed when he is underfunctioning and I'm overfunctioning? And how do I get us to function equally?
So I first want to help you hone in on that sense of I don't know how to stop. When you are going into this, I need to remind him, we need to, you know, I want you to pause.
What will happen if you don't?
Right. What will happen if you don't? And pause and ask yourself, what am I feeling right now that's pushing me to have to remind him about this? Right. Because there's some, when you say, I don't know how to stop, there's some sort of emotion that's driving you to that. It might be anxiety of like, I want you to ask, what will happen if this doesn't get done?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Is there fear around if he doesn't change, will it always be like this when we have children? Will I always have, right? So I wonder if there's this sense of I need to test whether my partner is
able. I need
able
to get him to grow up.
Exactly. And so the tough thing about that is that we don't have control over our partner.
And if you have to ask yourself, if it never changed from this moment, does this relationship still work? If he never, ever changes, we cannot be with someone for their potential. Everyone has great potential. Absolutely. I believe every person has phenomenal potential. That isn't the number one reason to choose somebody.
And I think another thing to say is it might be important to have a different kind of conversation with your partner, because right now it sounds like the conversation is, I'm going to remind them of this. I'm going to remind them of this, as opposed to taking the time to sit down and say, hey, listen, here's the reasons why these things are really important to me. Right. I know that there are certain things that you don't think about. Here are the things that are really important to me. And I know that there are going to be times in which you are not going to be doing the things that I think are really important. Mm-hmm. And so can we talk through that a little bit? Because clearly what we're doing is not working. And what happens is we tend to stay in a pattern of relating that is not working for us, thinking that if we keep doing the same thing, that eventually our partner is going to change. When really it sounds like your partner's interpreting the way in which you're communicating this as criticism. And as a result, they're actually not doing anything, mm-hmm. right? They're turning inward. Maybe they're being hard on themselves. And what happens to the underfunctioner is that they don't feel confident in doing these things anymore. So how do you pull yourself out of this cycle? And I think pulling yourself out of the cycle is really important, because the expectation is, if I say this enough, I'll be able to pull us out of the cycle by getting my partner to change.
Yeah.
When the fact of the matter is, pulling yourself out of the cycle means you doing something different. And I think that's a really hard truth to swallow.
Yikes. Yeah, it is.
Right? Like,
because it also feels out of control, right? What you're doing now feels like control. I have some choice, as opposed to if I just let this go, what the fuck am I doing?
Right. And what's going to happen?
Yeah.
So I think that.
And you could test it. What if for one day?
Yeah. What would happen?
Right. Half a day, 1 hour, right? If I pick one thing, the haircut, he gets longer hair. What happens? He looks a little scrubby. Meh.
And like, sit with your anxiety. I think that's a good question of like, what's the worst that's going to happen if the soap dispenser isn't refilled, right? If there's
I have to do it.
Right. I'll do it.
Yeah.
He won't wash his hands.
Oh, you have a secret soap dispenser that just sitting in his under the sink.
He will wash his hands, but I will.
Yeah. Right? I will hide it.
I will hide it. I like that if you're watching this on YouTube. I don't know if it's going to be on. You're going under the sink and secretly giving yourself this soap.
Right?
I like
so
that.
So like, what am I? So like, pick a few things. And then I think you have to say to your partner, I am going to no longer do these things. They're not working for us. And I'm going to retire this. And then you have to.
I'm going to retire like Betty.
So I'm going to hold on for dear life. You grit your teeth, you white, your knuckles are white, and you hold on and change the dynamic and let it be long lasting.
And see if you, in those moments of anxiety, because you will feel anxious if you are not feeling anxiety and reacting to it by saying you need to do this, this, and this. See if you can find another way to self-soothe or regulate your emotions. And do you need to go for a walk? Do you need to take care of yourself in some way? Right? Because you will feel anxiety when you make this change. So I want you to ask yourself, what am I going to replace this coping mechanism with? This coping mechanism that hasn't been working, right? What can I do that I actually have control over? Mm-hmm. Can I call a friend? Can I go for a walk? Can I call my therapist? What are the things that you can actually do to take care of yourself through that anxiety?
And that's it for today's episode. Thank you so much for listening to Shrink Tricks. We hope you enjoyed this episode. We always ask you to send it to a friend if they might enjoy it too. We ask you to rate, review, subscribe, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, any place that you get your podcast. You can watch our mini episodes, our mini-sodes on mini-sodes. YouTube. You can follow us at Shrink Tricks, the therapy group, if you'd like to work with one of our amazing clinicians and you are located in California, Florida, New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Delaware, or Massachusetts. We would love to hook you up with a phenomenal clinician to really start growing yourself, because don't forget, to grow yourself, you got to know yourself. We'll see you next week.